The morning in Ta'if arrives with a chill that Jeddah never offered. I woke to the sound of wind moving through the old city's alleyways, and for a moment, I forgot I was in Saudi Arabia in August. The air here at 1700 meters does something to your skin. It makes you want to walk slowly and drink tea in the shade. I had planned a day of markets and old walls, but the city had its own plan for me. I started at the Souk, the restored heart of Al-Mathna, where the stone arcades have been cleaned and polished, but still carry the smell of spices and dried roses. The stalls were just opening, and the sellers were arranging their goods with the unhurried patience of men who have done this for generations. I bought a small jar of sidr honey from a farmer who told me his bees worked the mountain valleys between Ta'if and Al-Hada. He let me taste it on a wooden spoon. It was dark and thick and tasted like the earth after rain. The price was about 40 rials for half a kilo, which is more than I would pay at home, but this is not something you find in a supermarket. I walked deeper into the souk, past the stalls selling rose water and oud and copper pots. A woman, older, with eyes that crinkled when she smiled, offered me a cup of kahwa from a small thermos. The coffee was bitter and cardamom scented, and we stood together in the shade of her stall, watching the morning crowd grow. She told me about her family's rose farm, how they harvest in the spring and distill the petals in the old way, and how the oil from Ta'if is prized all over the world. I asked if I could visit, and she smiled and said the season is over, but the factory near Al Rudaf Park is open year-round, and they show you the copper stills. The souk led me to Shubber Palace, which sits at the edge of Al-Mathna like a white wedding cake with its wooden balconies and arched windows. It was built in 1905, and now it is a museum for 1,000 relics and more about the history of the region. I paid 20 rials to enter, which is about $5, and I spent an hour wandering the rooms where the Haramain Railway once had its offices. The rooms are cool and dark, and the windows look out over the city's rooftops, and I thought about the summers when the Saudi government used to move here from Riyadh to escape the heat. There is a kind of gravity in these old stones. I wanted to see the city from above, so I drove out toward Al-Hada, the switchback road that climbs from the valley floor. The road is a careful exercise, each turn opening to a view of the terraced mountains and the thin blue line of the Red Sea far below. I parked at a lookout, and the wind was sharp and clean. It was hard to believe that Jeddah, with its thickness and heat, was only a few hours away. There were baboons on the rocks, watching me with their amber eyes, and I kept my windows closed. The cable car, the longest in the Middle East, I am told, runs down the cliff from near the Ramada Al-Hada Hotel to the tourist village below, but I decided to save that for another day. The descent alone was enough of a thrill. Back in the city, I was hungry, and I found a small place on King Saud Street called Mala Restaurant and Cafe, just a counter and a few tables, where the mutabak comes out fresh and golden. I ordered one with egg and minced meat, and a glass of karkata, the hibiscus tea, cold and sour and sweet. The mutabak was about 25 rials and the tea around 5, and I sat there feeling the afternoon settle into the stone streets. The man next to me was reading a newspaper and drinking a glass of tea with mint, and we exchanged a nod, the kind of acknowledgement that comes when two people share a quiet space. After lunch, I walked to the old section of Nuk, along King Khalid Road, where the forts and mud brick towers are starting to tell their stories. There is a small museum there, the Al-Sharif Museum, I think, and it has a collection of everyday objects from the last century, cooking pots and coffee pots and old photographs of Ta'if when it was a summer capital. I paid a few rials to wander through, and I was struck by how ordinary the objects were and how precious they now seem. A brass brazier, a set of clay water jars, a wooden cradle. These are the things a city carries with it, even as it changes. The afternoon light turned golden, and I found a shaded bench in King Abdullah Park, where families were spreading rugs and children were flying kites on the grass. The park is a new kind of space, neat and green, with a fountain at its center. I watched a boy chase a pigeon, and his father call him back with a laugh. The air smelled of cut grass and grilled meat, and I thought about how ordinary this feels, how easy it is to be at home here. I checked my phone and saw that the bus system, the TAFE bus, runs 9 routes with 58 buses, and the app is easy to set up, and a single ride is about 4 reals. I had considered renting a car, but the mountain roads change in the evening, and the bus might be a gentler way to see the city. I wandered back through the souk as the afternoon turned to evening. The fruit sellers were out, tables piled with pomegranates, dark red and heavy, and figs soft and sweet, and grapes the color of ink. I bought a bag of figs for 10 reals, and the seller told me they come from the orchards below the escarpment, where the night air keeps them cool and damp. I ate them sitting on a low wall, the juice running down my wrist, and I thought about how a place's taste is its truest map. The honey, the rose water, the fruit, they all carry the mountain in them. I made my way to the Algadi Rose Factory, the largest, supposedly still family-run, and 120 years old. The guide showed me the copper stills, enormous and gleaming, and explained the process of distillation, how it takes 10,000 roses to make one tiny bottle of oil. The factory shop had small vials of rose oil and bottles of rose water, and I bought a little bottle for about 60 reals. It will be a souvenir, I think, of this strange and lovely break, but also a reminder that some things take time and patience and cannot be rushed. That evening, I had dinner at a restaurant called The Hat, a modern place near the center with a big terrace looking out over the city lights. I ordered a mixed grill, lamb and chicken and some kofta and a side of faddish, and it was a lot of food for about 60 reals. The terrace was full of families and couples, and the air was cool enough for a light jacket. I lingered over a cup of tea, watching the lights of the city below flicker on one by one. As I walked back to my hotel, the Swiss International TAFE, I passed a small shop selling masaub, the sweet banana and dough dish that is a Hijazi favorite. I could not resist, and I took a small box up to my room. It was warm and drizzled with honey, and I ate it sitting on the balcony, the city quiet below me. I thought about the camel festival that is coming in September, the 80 or so races they are planning, and about the racing season at King Khalid Racecourse, which is apparently running every Friday and Saturday through the summer, with free entry booked through the WeBook app. I had thought Taif was a place you pass through on the way to somewhere else, but I am learning that it is a place you pass into. Tomorrow, I will take the bus to Al-Shafa, the mountain village above the city, and walk among the juniper trees. But tonight, I am content to sit here, the taste of honey on my tongue, and the cool air pressing against the window. Taif has asked me to slow down, and I am beginning to understand why. The city does not need to be rushed. It is a place that has learned to wait, and in its patience, it teaches you something about your own. I turned off the light, and the city hummed below me, a low sound, like a bee in a rose. It was the sound of a place that holds its summers close, and I am grateful to be one of the people it holds.